Thank you, Brendel, for that devotions and that prayer. He prayed for something in that prayer that stood out to me because of the subject that I felt led to speak on this morning. He prayed that we would have faith, in God, that he knows what he's doing. I was sitting in a restaurant in Maryland last weekend, and on the table in front of me was a laminated invitation that a local church had put there. Very nicely done. I picked it up and looked what all they had to say. It was printed on the front and the back. As I waited for my food, I read it, and I was impressed with their evangelistic tool. But I suddenly paused because of one line that I read when it was explaining the way of salvation. It said something to this effect: it's not the prayer that saves us, it's our faith. It's not the prayer that saves us, it's our faith. And I was like, is that correct? It's not the prayer that saves us. Well, I want to think about that a little bit this morning, but I got to thinking about faith and the many varied experiences that God has allowed into my path the last number of months here. And I got to thinking what faith really means. What faith really means to us in so many, many ways, and how foundational faith is in our lives. My title this morning is From Faith to Faith. Faith is something that starts at our very conversion experience. But faith is the last thing that we hold on to as we're leaving this world. And faith is what keeps us going in between. We just move from one aspect of faith to the next and to the next. Going through end-of-life experiences recently with close family and friends has impressed upon me the value of our faith on so many fronts. And I think we take for granted, at least I do, the bedrock of faith and what that does for us all our life. All our life. Because of what we believe and what we know about God and God's promises, what that does in salvation, in living with fears, in dying, it's all impacted by our faith. I've divided my message into 3 points this morning. First of all, I want to think about saving faith, and then I like to think about living faith, and then dying faith. First of all, saving faith. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read this account in its entirety. But thinking about saving faith, what was written on that little laminated piece of material, outreach material for that church: could I be saved without praying a sinner's prayer? It said it's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith. So could I, as long as I have some faith thoughts, would that be enough to earn my salvation? As long as I have faith thoughts, I wouldn't necessarily pray a prayer, but I just have faith thoughts about who I believe God is. Was that a scriptural quote in its entirety? Well, Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. James tells us that faith without works is dead. I believe faith produces the work of expression with our tongue. So what saves us, faith or the prayer? Well, I believe it's both. It's both. We confess with our mouth, but as we confess, we have faith. It might be ever so small, but we have faith. Those of us who have experienced salvation by praying a sinner's prayer and then knowing our sins are forgiven and maybe feeling Satan throw darts as time goes on, and we wrestle into a faith and a trust in the finished work of Jesus that we know is finished. We know it's in our mind, we know it. But it gives us a wonderful foundation for living. Even though Satan may attack us, our faith gives us a foundation for living. If we had no faith that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he hears our prayer, and that he forgives our sins, our prayer would basically be, I guess, words of recreation, some sort of personal entertainment. We just talk to ourselves, like we hear some people doing sometimes. But if we would not let our faith move our tongue to confess, I don't believe this morning we would have salvation. My Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So according to the Word of God, I don't believe we can be saved without confession. But then I had to wonder, can we have confession and not be saved because we don't have faith? Is that possible? Can we confess without faith? Could I pray a sinner's prayer and still not be saved because it was not prayed in faith? I believe that could be possible. It could be possible. Romans tells us that we must confess, but it adds faith. We must confess with faith. It's not just enough to confess. The devils fear and tremble, the Bible says. But faith is the bedrock of the sinner's prayer. Faith is what puts us on a different footing. I believe it'd be possible for me today, when I started business, I had the old 49, and it had a little V8 in that was around 90 horsepower, I think it was, the same engine that was in a Ford 8N tractor. Didn't have much power at all. And I could probably climb in that thing and start heading west on the turnpike and say that I'm heading for California. I probably could. But probably deep down inside, I would be pretty much celebrating at each state line if we made it that far. Because there's something inside of me would, while my hands were on the steering wheel, my foot's on the throttle, something inside of me would probably be saying, this thing will never make it to California. At least not without some help. The fact that I started driving, the fact that I put my foot on the accelerator, the fact that my hands touched the steering wheel, doesn't mean that I necessarily have faith that this can see me through. And I believe we can have that possibility with God, where we can have a prayer. It's what we know we should do, but it's prayed in a faithless way that we don't really believe that God can see this through. We don't really believe he can. We're really expecting probably that he won't. And that's not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is when we pray and we believe that God hears us and we believe that some way, even though our faith may be so small, that God is going to make this work for good somehow or other. We start the Christian life with confession and a belief in Jesus for our salvation. It's the faith element that is there that is very important, even though it is small, even though it is the size of a grain of mustard seed. That's okay. God can grow faith if we allow him to grow faith. It doesn't matter if it starts small. It's, are we going to allow God to move us from faith to faith? Are we going to step into that experience and trust him and believe him in that experience and then allow him to reveal himself in more experiences as we go through life. Develop from a mustard seed, small as it is, faith to a relationship faith and a living faith, a faith that comes alive to us in the experiences of life. And that's my second point, a living faith. Or maybe it could be better said, a faith as we are living. A faith as we are living. It becomes a living faith to us because it's a faith as we are living. So a basic belief and a confidence in God's plan of salvation is foundational. But it is that foundation that grows our faith and causes it to become alive in our experiences of life. Can you imagine this morning what some of our non-Christian friends are feeling and experiencing in their minds right now with what all is happening in the world? Can you imagine? Our friends that do not believe there is a God with a plan in all the crazies that are happening all around them, nationally, internationally, right now, they don't believe that there's a God that has a plan in all this. Can you imagine what they're feeling this morning compared to what you and I are feeling this morning? If they believe it's all in their shoulder, they have to make the right moves at the right time, or they're going to lose control and it's going to all be over. And they're biting their fingernails, trying to make sure that they're going to make the right move. No faith in a God that can work in spite of the mistakes of human beings, the people that are around them, in spite of their mistakes. I don't know about you, but when my mind wants to spin out and things feel a bit out of control, I usually come back to this thought in my mind that God's not out of control. God is still God. And I can console myself with that thought, even during this election time. I can console myself with that. God has plans for whoever the next president is, and he has purposes for why everything is working the way it is. But what about the more routine fears that we face in normal living? Can we imagine coping with the uncertainty of life and its sometimes suffocating, almost suffocating fears, with no backdrop of faith, no backdrop of a God that we can talk to at any moment and just pray about it? Can you imagine facing life without that foundation? In the midst of our fears, we have nobody to call out to, nobody to pray and just pour our hearts, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, just pour it out to God. But because of faith, we can talk to God anytime. Anytime, day or night. What matters to us matters to God. Maybe our friends grow weary of our mental spins, but God listens. God hears. God can calm. God loves. He loves when we keep giving our insecurities back to him. He loves that. He loves to show himself strong in our behalf as we're ready to just step back and just wait. Just calm our hearts before him and just wait. He loves when we do that. He loves when we can get to a place that even if things don't end quite the way we're wishing, that it'll be okay because we believe it's his plans. He loves when we can get to that place. Because as one of God's children, we live life with a promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. Never. No matter what difficult experience we can imagine or God can take us into, he'll be there. He'll be there. He will not leave us. We have that promise. It's a foundation of faith we can live on. Living faith reminds us that God's promises are true. Like when he says in Proverbs 3, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When we get in difficult experiences, we can just evaluate, are we acknowledging God in this? And if we are, then we can be sure that he's going to direct our path. It's up to me if I want to claim the promises of God as something I can live by and put my faith in and have a living faith, or if I want to lay awake all night and worry about what's happening around me, about the future, and live in terror and believe I'm on a crashing airplane. I'm just living something that's out of control. It's a way to make ourselves very miserable, to live with that feeling in life that we're just on, we're at someone else's mercy and it's out of control. I had to think about a picture. Larry forwarded Erin Janasso's testimony on her fear of turbulence in his devotionals this week, and I read down over that. And I had to think about a personal experience that I had one time on a plane. When the flight was diverted because the plane suddenly had some kind of mechanical problems, and it was quite obvious the plane had mechanical problems, and I think if anyone on that plane would have said they have no tinge of fear, I think they would have been lying. That plane took on a very somber mode as the pilot said that we were just glad to hear his voice when he finally said something. And he said, we'll be diverting to land and they'll be waiting for us. And of course, that gave some mental pictures. But during that time, some people went to the restroom to try and text or call their family member and just say some last words. People were preparing for the worst. They were preparing for the worst. And there were probably some in that plane that didn't have the faith that I had, even though my heart was doing some flip-flops too. But they were going through the same things without faith, without any faith in a God that is in control. I remember feeling like if I got out of this thing alive, I think I'm going to rent a car and drive home. I remember that thought went through my mind. I did have enough faith to get back on to fly home. But there's something about those times that a faith in God is, we take for granted. We just take for granted what a faith in God is all about. I liked Erin's Janasso's testimony. If you didn't read Larry's email, I'll read part of it here. She said this, I hadn't always been afraid of flying, she said. As a child, I remember enjoying it. But somewhere along the way, fear crept in. When flying, and honestly, in most other things too, worrying felt like something I could do to help keep us safe. Like I was showing God I knew how fragile my life and the lives of those I loved was. My husband opened my eyes to the folly of this idea. You focus on outcomes opposite of the ones you're praying for, he pointed out. He was right. I prayed fervently to God to keep me safe and then spent the rest of every flight sure we were going to crash. Where was the faith in that? So I changed my airline prayers. I still asked for safety, but I started asking for help with my fear as well. Any of us have airline experiences throughout our week? Just living life. We're praying one thing, but not really expecting that God can work on our behalf. Here's our prayers. Feeling a bit faithless that God got this. I guess I'm revealing myself this morning. We can rest our mind. We can stop thinking about a plan A and a plan B and a plan C when we have a foundation of faith in God. I don't mean we don't think about things and make plans. But we can stop thinking about the worst imaginable outcomes and how we would cope with all that. God has that all figured out, if it would come to that. As Christians, we are not exempt from things the people around us fear, the things the world fears. They happen to us too. The rain falls on the just and the unjust and the sunshine. We face emotions just like everyone around us does. But it is our faith while living that gives us a different way to process our fear, a God-honoring way to process our fears. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and then we diligently seek him. We seek him. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can be a very frustrating child of God if we don't have faith. Don't have faith in him and what he wants to do and will do. I wonder who is the strongest in faith here this morning. Wonder who's as strong as in faith. If we could all go and get a faith scan or a faith weigh-in or some kind of faith test that gives results, instant results, where would we be in how much faith we really have in God? Faith can play out differently, and our faith hiccups can play out differently, very likely depending on our personalities. There are persons that I believe can go through life with a very confident air, active in church work and mission work, but when some big thing comes in their life, their faith may fall apart. Are they strong in faith? If they're that kind of person, are they strong in faith? Or what about the person that maybe goes through life with caution and carefulness? He will not be the first one to vote in favor of a church plant or an outreach because he's thinking about where will the finances come from or what will we do for a living if we move to that area. But some big thing can come into his life and he can just face it with a confidence and a calm. Who has the strongest faith? How does strong faith present itself? We are made up different, and Satan is ever busy wanting to displace our confidence in God. As we each individually work through our gifts and our callings in life, whether we be the mother that feels like God has supersized our family beyond what we feel emotionally up to, or maybe we're the single person that feels like we're rowing with one oar in an upstream environment, and we feel like we can't really handle much more. Or maybe we're the businessman that feels like we're overblessed or underblessed. We're all in this where God has herded us into. But it's those times, it's those experiences in life that test our faith. They test our faith. Our faith while living. I believe if we are strong in faith, if we are strong in faith, we will sense our weakness and need of faith. I believe we'll have an attitude like that father of the child that had the seizures there in the book of Mark. When Jesus asked him, the child would just fall into the fire, and the father brought him to Jesus. And Jesus says, well, do you have faith? Do you really believe that I can do this? And Mark 9, verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He wanted to have faith. He really believed Jesus could, but he wanted Jesus to help his unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. And I believe as Christian people that is how we go through life. We have faith, but we continuously need help in our faith. We need the Lord's help to nurture our faith. Our unbelief is helped through our connections with God. As we do like that Father, boldly come to Jesus with our needs. We read his word. We hear his word shared through others. We witness God working in the lives of other people and seeing their faith. Strengthens our faith. And it helps us to realize that God got this. God got this. He knows about this. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the things I have found a blessing, even though I don't like to do it, I'm glad if I can sleep all night, but I have found it a blessing those times that I can't to just get up and read the Word of God, and even read in the Old Testament, which I don't necessarily enjoy reading as much, but to just read those stories of real people of God and how God was there. And it can be such a blessing. It can be such a blessing. The house is quiet. And we just see examples of God's involvement in people's lives, and we realize that He's the same God today. The same God today. And we put the Word to work in conquering our fear as we read the promises of God. And we believe. We believe that just like God could work there for the prophet Elijah, when God said, "Now you go do this," and then the stream dried up and the raven stopped coming, and He said, "Okay, now you go over here to the widow." God had it all planned. All Elijah saw was the stream getting less and less and less, and God didn't say it's time for rain yet. But the same God is at work in our lives as we are facing each day, each day, a moment at a time. We don't have the big picture. It's when we try and get the big picture that we lose faith. But we live in the moment, a living faith for today, for this moment. When we have faith, we know that the moment we are facing is no surprise to God. Even if we made some mistakes and the moment we're experiencing is a result of maybe some mistakes on our part, it's a moment where we can still just trust God and try and learn what we can from the mistakes that got us here, but realize that God doesn't want us to stay here. He has much better plans for us than where we are at the moment. It's our turn to be contemporary heroes of faith. Faith is something that is a lifelong development, I believe. When we look at those listed in the heroes of faith, some of them we know had their moments when their faith wasn't all that strong. But as they went on with God, their faith was developed. Abraham, he feared for his life when they thought the king would take his life because of his wife. And he manufactured that partial truth. He told her to say a partial truth there to try and preserve his life, because there was a moment there where his faith was just a little weaker than it should have been. And I believe we have those moments too, where our faith is being developed, and we want to learn from those experiences in our life and keep developing. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11. Now I'm going to read the entire chapter, and just let's use it as an inspiration for ourselves. Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God and of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in the dens, in the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'd like to just look briefly at the last point, and that is a dying faith. I read a story of a man named Ray who went through a spiritual crisis. He was a strong elder in a congregation for 20 years. Most people in the church consider him to be the pillar in the congregation. He gave millions of dollars to the church. It seemed that he loved the Lord and his church. But he had a major shaking of his faith when he had a heart attack. He told me that he lay on his bed crying because he was afraid of going to hell. He knew he was a Christian. He lived a wonderful life, But when it counted, when it was time to have peace, he was afraid. He had no faith in the gift of Jesus Christ. He had no hope for heaven. He said that he realized that his faith was weak. When he needed his faith, he felt like he had none. Can that happen to us? Can that happen to us? Can we be a ray? I was blessed with a couple heroes of faith in my life recently. I couldn't help but compare the story of Ray with another story of another Ray, my dad. He lived with the knowledge that very likely if he got COVID with all his underlying health issues, it wouldn't probably go well. When the dreaded virus found him, he courageously talked about his funeral plans as we waited for the ambulance. He said that I hope to come back here again, but if I don't, he had some things he wanted me to know. He told the nurse at the hospital that he's ready to die when questioned if he wanted to be intubated. He said, just make me as comfortable as you can. He said, I'm ready to die. That's dying faith. That's dying faith. I heard the testimony of my uncle, David Grouse's father. When the hospice came in to outline the details of the process, they said, do you understand? He said, yes, I do. Let's get started. They heard him singing at 3:30 in the morning while alone in his room there in the hospital. That's dying faith. And that doesn't happen if we don't have a living faith. We get that by having a living faith. Having Jesus with us as we go through our life experiences. But as we do that, we can come to the end with a dying faith. My uncle's testimony sounded so similar to Jacob's. Or in Genesis 49, verse 33, it says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. May we have a saving faith that translates into a living faith that ultimately will usher us into a dying faith until we can go and be with our Lord, be with God's people in God's kingdom, where Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There'll be no more election drama. There'll be no night there, no sleepless nights. The music will be superb. My dad doesn't need any CDs anymore for his birthday. He's got the best music we can ever imagine. Let's us be faithful. Shall we pray?